It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Show that's all about baseball.
That's when the game, to me, is at its best.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Bigelow Tea, KM Hot Dogs, I Promise, official eye vitamin of the Boston Red Sox, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, and Window World.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So one more out to get. And the Red Sox will have their 89th victory. Popped up. There's Shaw, and that's a win. An absolute must-win for the Red Sox tonight, and a blank Baltimore 6-0, the final score.
Yeah, it starts with Eovaldi. He came back, redeemed himself after the Yankee start. Six innings, didn't give up anything. And the big night for J.D. Martinez, got three big RBIs, started off with the solo home run. So the Red Sox did what they had to do. Every night they got to get a W here forward.
We all know where we're at, and you know, that's why it's important to come here tomorrow and play a full game and win it. You know that tomorrow somebody's going to lose there. You know, we'll gain ground, and we don't lose ground on them. So obviously we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but putting a good game tomorrow and win the series is very important for us.
Okay, so here we are in the American League wild card race, and it is going to go right down to the wire. I have a very simple question for everybody tonight as it pertains to all this. But the Red Sox defeat the Baltimore Orioles last night, 6-0, in a game that frankly wasn't quite that lopsided. Felt like it was going to be another one of those games like the one the night before, where the Red Sox couldn't really break it open and then maybe blew it late with their suspect bullpen. As it turns out, they got the job done. Nathan Eovaldi really backboned the whole thing. But honestly, I have a hard time celebrating any victory over the Baltimore Orioles right now, no matter how important, because you should be winning these games. And you should have already won two against the Orioles. As it is, you go to win the series tonight. But this is where we're going to begin on the Baseball Hour. And we'll open up the phone lines right away. Jim Murray is alongside. Jimmy Stewart, Billy Lanny, both here behind the glass. 617-779-0985. And as I said to Michael Felger just a second ago, we might have only two shows left here. I want to get to the playoff scenario here in a second. We may only have two shows left. It could be tonight, could be tomorrow night. If the Red Sox then miss the playoffs, I'm not entirely sure we're having one on Monday.
Has management told you that?
Well, so I think it's iffy, Murray. I think that there's a chance we'll do one just to wrap up the weekend.
Yeah, I was going to say, there should be like a closeout show if they screwed it up.
But that'll be it. I mean, you know, we'll cover, if the Red Sox get eliminated, we're going to cover, well, I was going to say we'll cover some of that in Felger and Maz, but obviously we won't because of Tom Brady.
Right.
So because of the Brady situation, I suppose there is a chance we'll have a show on Monday. But in any case, let me ask you this question, and then I'll lay out for you, and I mean you, the listener, where we are in this whole thing. Are you interested in the race? Are you interested in this race? Do you find yourself scoreboard watching? Are you paying attention to what's going on with the other games? Are you aware of what's happening? This is what I want to know. Are you paying attention to it? Because the race is wildly entertaining to the point where the tiebreakers will absolutely make your freaking head spin. It is mind-numbing when you start going through these scenarios. And I'm not going to give you all the details on the tiebreakers. Alex Speer did that for you today in the Boston Globe. If you want to do it, go ahead and read it. And believe me when I tell you, reading it, you're going to get confused. I can promise you that. But as things stand right now, do you understand right now that the Seattle Mariners are closer to you than the Blue Jays? The wild card standings right now are as follows. The Yankees are in the top spot. The Red Sox are a game back. Seattle is a game and a half back. And the Mariners do not play tonight. Toronto is two back. Now I'm going to give you the very simple sort of bottom line as it relates to tonight. If Toronto wins and the Red Sox lose, there's a three-way tie for that second wildcard spot. Boston, Toronto, and Seattle all one game behind New York. So among the scenarios that exist, and again, let me just give you that bottom line very simply. If Toronto wins and the Red Sox lose, there is a three-way tie for the second wildcard spot. So in that, and I'm not even going to get into how they would break that. If it plays that way through the weekend, we'll figure that out later. Because, again, it's going to be too complicated. But you would have a three-way tie for the second spot between Boston, Toronto, and Seattle, and the Yankees would be only one game up on that group. Among the scenarios, that this thing's all decided by the end of the day Sunday, and all the games Sunday will be played at 3 o'clock. That nothing will be decided on Sunday, and all four teams could be tied. That you could have the Yankees ahead and in, and the other three teams fighting for one spot. An array of possibilities. Meanwhile, the Red Sox did beat the Orioles last night. Four games to go. Right now they're in because, again, they are ahead of Toronto and Seattle and will remain ahead of those teams so long as they win out. Jim Murray, is your confidence in the Red Sox any greater today than it was yesterday, or are you literally living day to day?
No, I think you're literally living day to day, and it did seem like some of the more important bats woke up last night, specifically J.D. Martinez, which you need, and again, you're playing the dregs of the league right now in Baltimore, everyone knows that, and then this Washington team, but, you know, again, National League Park, so National League rules, right? That's going to change, so, right, or, I'm like, correct me if I'm wrong, right? Like, there's no DH anymore.
No, you're right.
Yeah, so yeah, I thought that changed back. Yeah, so, you know, you're going to lose, that bat in the lineup, so that could potentially affect the Red Sox. Like, I don't know how you can strongly say right now, like, they're a lock for the playoffs. You can't.
No, you absolutely cannot say that. And I'll tell you the other thing I find interesting about where the Red Sox are right now, and I think I said this to you, Murray. The television ratings for the last couple of nights have been fives, right around fives. And relative to what they were for most of the season, those were a little higher. They've been a little bit higher for a while now. You know, early in the middle of the year, they were down in the 3.5 range, somewhere in that area. So the TV ratings have come up. But this is the final week of the season. There's a playoff spot at stake. Over the weekend, you played the Yankees at home. And the ratings really haven't been much higher than a 5 or 5.5. They've been that way for the last week.
That's what they were for these Baltimore games, too?
Yep. They were five, basically like a five, a little over five last night, you know, almost 5.5 the night before. But they've been the same. The point being that the Yankees in the playoffs, what amounts to a playoff series with the Yankees.
That's what that was last week.
In the final week of the season, with a postseason berth at stake, and the Red Sox aren't doing even half of the rating they did at their peak. When they were, you know, when they owned the town. So the part of the reason I asked this question at the beginning of the show tonight, I'm wondering how many people are really interested in this race at all. I find there to be a stunning level of apathy as it relates to this. And again, when I say stunning level of apathy, I thought the base of hardcores was a little higher than what the numbers portraying last night. I know the Red Sox have done a lot of damage to their brand in the last couple of years. I get why you're pissed off, but I have believed for the large majority of my professional life, if you gave them a winning team that was contending for a playoff spot, that most people would set aside all other things because they're interested in the competition and they're interested in the winning. And with this Red Sox team, it simply has not been true.
Yeah, and I think that, look, we know the reasons why the tune-out factor is there, you know, because baseball makes it difficult for the viewer, all that. Like, outside of all that, for your hardcores that you feel like should bump these numbers up a little bit, Maz, I think that the way that this team has played, and they have this kind of inherent gutlessness that they showed from the deadline on, especially you've seen here recently in that series of the Yankees, people are like, talk to me if you actually make that playoff game, you know? So they're not going to watch against the Orioles. They're not going to watch. The Yankees one doesn't make sense. That's the one I would expect. I would have expected a higher number. But if
that's the one that shocked me, Mark.
Yeah, that one. Like, so maybe after that first game where Nathan Eovaldi gets his face ripped off and it's 3-0 early. So people are like, ah, the hell with this. But it's still like there wasn't like there was a lot going on that weekend in terms of local sports to watch.
Exactly. And when I say that's the one that shocked me, I shouldn't say shocked, but it did catch my attention.
No, that's surprising.
Okay? It surprised me because I thought with the Yankees in town, maybe they'll do sevens. Maybe they'll even do an eight.
Well, not only that, how many Yankee fans were in that park over the weekend, especially Saturday and Sunday,
okay,
too?
But maybe that tells us something, too, that Boston fans aren't going to the ballpark. Yankee fans are. Yankee people are still coming in to treating Fenway as a tourist destination, and they're treating it as a nice weekend in Boston, you know, late summer, early fall. There's a reason to go up there. We can get tickets to the game because the people in Boston aren't buying them anymore. And so I just don't say – I guess my question for people would be – if you're not interested in this race, why not? And we talked a little bit about this last night, Murray, where I said...
No, it's better for them to make it, even if you don't believe. You're still, like, considering, again, if you just go back to what the expectations were for the Red Sox ahead of 2021, that they end up making the playoff game, even if they lose it, like, you know, that was ultimately a pretty good outcome for them. Where they were in the first half to the deadline, the expectations got higher. But again, overall, you want to make the playoffs rather than not.
I mean, if you like sports, I would think that you want to watch meaningful games.
Yeah.
And if you're a fan of baseball at all, even slightly, you would want to watch meaningful games. If you're not a fan of the sport, I get that. I mean, most people aren't anymore. And I totally understand why. I guess, you know, the one I push back against, the argument I push back against is, well, they're not going to win a championship either way, so why should I watch? Well, if that's the case, you might not be watching anything for a long time. You might not be watching the Patriots for a long time, if that's what your criteria is. You might not be watching baseball for a long time, and dare I say basketball or even hockey in this town. If it all comes down to, well, they don't really have a chance to win the championship, or what I deem to be a legitimate chance to win the championship, then I'm not going to watch. I'm not going to invest in it. Why should I? And if that's the logic, well, then you're not going to watch. Not for a long time. We'll take some calls here. Jimmy, I think I'm frozen. Paul in Braintree on line one. Maybe you could punch him up for me. Paul, are you there?
Yes, hi. I have a question. If they end up with the second wild card behind the Yankees, is that game played at Fenway because of the tiebreaker, or is it played at Yankee Stadium because they're a game behind?
It depends on whether or not they and the Yankees finish tied. If the Yankees finish ahead in the standings, that game will be played in New York. If the Red Sox finish ahead in the standings, the game will be played in Boston. If they end up tied, it'll end up being played in Boston because the Red Sox beat the Yankees head-to-head during the regular season. Jimmy, we can let him go. I want to get to Nathan Eovaldi, too. His performance last night, which is being greatly celebrated as a massive performance. I think there's good news and bad news as it pertains to Nathan Eovaldi. I'll tell you what that is when we come back on the Baseball Hour.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Breaking news.
What are we doing?
To breaking balls.
They all move slow now, and they all just want to play softball.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Nate, 10-9, ERA of 3.88. He suffered through his worst performance of the season last time out. And gets him again. That was 99.
There's a taste in cheese from Eovaldi.
And the 0-2 pitch. Ooh, is that filthy. He struck him out. Caught him looking.
Oh, yeah, that split disappeared. Split me. Nasty Nate with the splittage.
His 89th pitch.
Yes, he did.
Yes, at 97, he strikes him out.
That's what I'm talking about.
been through this path before, right? I know what he can do in those situations. We lived it, right? It doesn't seem like the moment gets too big on him. Last week was last week. And like I said, the good ones, they struggle sometimes, right? Hopefully it's his last bad one and he can continue. And whenever he pitches, he'll be ready to go. And, we expect him to dominate.
So obviously Nathan Eovaldi, good night last night, had good stuff, throwing bullets out of the gate, command of his off-speed stuff. Alex Cora was asked there about Nathan Eovaldi and the prospects of pitching the wild card game if the Red Sox are going to be in that wild card game. And I think the question was even something along the lines of, well, let's say you don't need the game on Sunday and Sale is available. Who pitches? You know, is Eovaldi the guy? And the answer to me tells me the Red Sox are going to go with Eovaldi. I think Cora just sees Eovaldi's stuff. Again, he builds him up like that. Good at this time of year, good in those moments, not affected by it. The pressure doesn't bother him. And the stuff is way better than Chris Sale's. Way better. And I don't know whether people want to admit that or not, but your better chances right now are with Nathan Eovaldi on the mound.
You're not shook a little bit by that last performance against the Yankees, though?
I mean, sure I am. But I'm also shook by the fact that Chris Sale couldn't hold a two-run lead against the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
And so, you know, I just don't think Sale is the same guy right now. And I hope he will be next year based on Tommy John history, Murray. He will be. Most of those guys come back, and it takes a couple of years to get back to full strength. They can pitch it 18 months, but they're not the same until about 2 years out. So Sale's given them more than I thought he would. I wasn't even sure Sale was going to be able to give them anything. So from that standpoint, I think that has been good. But I'll tell you, the only problem I have with what Cora said, does last night really qualify as a big game? It's the freaking Orioles.
No, but I maybe from the standpoint of it's a bounce back because he looked so wretched against New York last Friday. So it was a big start for him. You know, if he faltered against, again, that Orioles lineup, then there's, panic.
Well, okay, so that's
concern.
So that's fair. I would hope he dominates Baltimore. The Orioles blow. To me, I had to do that at a minimum, and I'm glad it was better. I was interested in the first inning last night, too. He clearly had it, and I don't know if the game over the weekend against New York on Friday was a result of fatigue or maybe he psyched himself out.
So that's why I'm glad you just said that he clearly had it early. It's just my own curiosity. You made that rejoin, right?
Yes, why?
Well, I noticed it was radar love. Was he getting the radar love last night because he had high velocity?
Well, so there you go, Murray. Once again, you picked up on it.
Very clever.
Yep. He was hitting 99, 98, 97. He was up in those high 90s regularly. And so he looked good last night. But again, it was Baltimore. I'll tell you what. Let me get to a couple of calls first, and then I'll tell you what I do give Eovaldi credit for. Jacob's in the car. Jacob, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm curious. Roughly, when did you start losing interest in baseball?
I mean, I still have an interest in it, but when would I say the game started to turn me off? I would say within the last 5 years, especially. I just think the product has become borderline unwatchable.
Okay, that's fair. And my other question is, how would you arrange the pitching if the Red Sox had to play a playing game for the playing game?
Okay, so I would want Eovaldi to start the game, and then I would back him up with any array of people. Probably, if you have a left-handed lineup you're going against, I would think about using Sale in there. Although, honestly, I would try to stay away from Sale. I would rather just have him go through his typical routine and pitch him in game two. The guy is still coming off of Tommy John. So I'm not gonna push Sale too much by having him get up and then bringing him out of the bullpen, and I don't want to mess with that too much. I would have Pivetta in the bullpen. I feel reasonably confident that he'd be able to give you a couple of innings. Hauk, Whitlock, if he's available. Now, you're all right-handed there. It doesn't feel like Taylor's going to be back at that time, so you're going to be right-handed heavy. Barnes, Ottavino, I just rattled off, five or six guys? If you can't get through with those six guys, you're going to lose anyway. So to me, it should be some combination of the pitchers I just gave you. If you see Darwin's and Hernandez or Big Fudge or one of those guys in that game, forget it. You're in trouble. Ken's in a car. Ken, go. Ken, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yep.
Okay, go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to comment on, I think, a big reason, at least, why people have kind of lost interest in the Red Sox and the baseball in general. I can think for myself and for my immediate circle of friends that I know that politics has a lot to do with it, right? I don't think it's the only reason. But
okay, well, so what politics? The vaccination?
No, not that. It's the giant Black Lives Matter sign outside of Fenway Park. That's part of it, right? But that's
Ken, I'm going to put you on hold here for 1 second. Does that really prevent you from watching the games? Does that prevent you from being interested in the games?
It does. Yeah, it does.
Okay, well, then, you know what I would tell you? Then you put politics before the baseball or the entertainment. I mean, if you were a Patriots fan, would you stop doing that? And so I don't know why that would be such a turnoff to you. Again, if you start basing everything based on political decisions, you're not going to watch anything. Danny's in Linfield. Go ahead, Danny.
Hey, Maz. I think the league as a whole is watered down. There's lack of talent. And if, for me, if the Red Sox go back 2 or 3 years, they're boring to watch, they're inconsistent, and I think this current Red Sox team, the last couple years, they are a bunch of them take nights off. Look at J.D. Martinez. You
okay,
can't
but Danny, they're in it right now. Okay, so you want to talk about other years where they took nights off or they weren't competitive?
All right,
no, you got to stop talking. We can't do one over another. It doesn't work that way.
He could be talking about like the Tampa Bayification of everything. You know, like you tune in, you don't really recognize some of these players because, you know, it's this Rays way of building a roster. So outside of Martinez and J.D. Martinez and
Devers, not enough star power.
Like there's not a lot of stars.
Yeah, not enough star power. So, Danny, is that it? That or is it the sport or is it the team?
It's especially the team. That bullpen is not major league.
Okay, so you don't
bullpen after the fifth inning, they stink.
Okay, so you don't believe they're good enough then?
Correct.
Okay, so that's it. That's the answer. You don't believe they're good enough. And this is the part I don't get. Like, okay, fine, you can believe they're not good enough. They still might get in the playoffs. So you can still watch these meaningful games if you're interested in it. This is the part that I'm a little perplexed by. So you don't believe in them, so you check out. I don't think it used to be that way. I think you would watch whether you believed in them or not, and then if it was a train wreck, it pissed you off. So I think that the fact that I do think that there is a segment of the fan base here, and this doesn't relate to the baseball part of the argument, because honestly, I think the game is a major problem. Okay, the quality of the product in Major League Baseball blows, relatively speaking, to what it was. And I'll give you a perfect illustration of that. Jose Iglesias has been playing for the Red Sox for the last month. If you're a fan of baseball, he's been great to watch. It's terrific defense. He puts the ball in play. He makes the game fun. Jose Iglesias makes the game fun. The problem is that guys like Jose Iglesias have no value in the game now. He's here because he was released. So there isn't an emphasis on the wizardry of the defense, the great hands, and everybody wants a guy who hits for power, so Jose Iglesias is out of the game. So to me, there's been a certain flash or flare that was in the game historically and balls in play that doesn't exist anymore. So that part I get. I'm frustrated with that too. But they're fighting for a playoff spot. If you have any interest in the sport, I would think you'd be watching. John's in Rhode Island. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, Tony, Jim.
Oh, Jim, go ahead. I'm sorry. Or you meant Murray. Go ahead.
Yes, hi.
Yeah, you guys, Tony, you talked about the ratings earlier, the ratings drop.
Yes, yeah, go ahead, John, go. All right, we lost him. I don't know where he was going with that. I'll see if we can squeeze in one more call and see if these are any better. Jake's in Salisbury. Go ahead, Jake.
So my thing about the ratings is, do you think it has anything to do with anytime there's a big game or they have a chance to really, like, get something going? They just crap all over themselves and can't do anything with it.
Okay, so yeah, Jake, this gets into the do you believe in them part of it. And I do think a lot of people don't. And I get that. They're not going to win a championship, so why should I watch? And I would tell you that that's a dangerous way to follow any team, because otherwise you'll never watch anything. I mean, how many teams in baseball would you say really have a chance of winning the championship? The Dodgers, although they could get bounced in the play-in game. Do you think Yankees fans look at the Yankees and say they have a chance? Or do you think they look at them and say they don't? Toronto has one of the most exciting young teams in the game. Maybe the most exciting young team in the game. I think they had 29,000 there last night, which isn't horrible. But in their heyday, the crowd was 50% larger than that. So, and I think that Jays team is dynamite to watch. They are fun, man. They get some good young talent. They hit the crap out of the ball. They run. They play good defense. They have some good pitching. The Jays are entertaining, which, again, lends lends to the argument, rather, that it really has more to do with the game. The game. Because Toronto hasn't won recently. I don't think those fans are spoiled. I mean, it's Canada. Maybe that's a factor.
The one that might be, I'd be curious to see, is if there was a jump for the ratings for the Cardinals. Because that team was kind of garbage up until like the last month here, where they're going on this crazy run.
It's a good one, Murray, because then that's a big baseball market, too.
Yeah.
Right? Historically big baseball market. And they don't have football. So, you know, I mean, I don't know how many other things the people there have really to focus on.
Barbecue, that's about it.
Yeah, the Blues.
Yeah.
I mean, but they haven't started yet, obviously. So that's an interesting question. As it pertains to the Red Sox, Alex Cora has a number of interesting questions he has to answer every night. And some of them are going to intensify over the weekend. Some of them have been ongoing this week regarding a position like second base. We'll tell you what Cora said about handling second base the rest of the way. We'll tell you what he said his plans are for the weekend when the Red Sox go to Washington with no DH. And we'll continue with your calls when we come back on the Baseball Hour after Jim Murray gets you caught up on headlines.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Talking bases on balls.
Huge ones.
It's the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass on your home for Boston Sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Alex, obviously you've been using Iglesias at second base. If you guys were to advance, will Christian be ready, or might you have to look at some other options? Or
he'll be ready. It's not the perfect situation. I mean, what Iggy's doing offensively and defensively, it's been great, right? You see the numbers. He's been one of the best hitters in the big leagues the last 3 weeks. So there's nothing we can do about it, right? He's part of us, and he's helping us win games. So we'll you know, hopefully we have to make that decision. Let's put it that way, right? Like, who's going to play second in the playoffs? And, you know, Christian is doing everything possible to stay sharp, and he understands where we at, you know, and what Iggy has done, you know, it's been amazing for us.
A little bit of a confusing answer there by Alex Cora. Jose Iglesias is not eligible for the postseason. But, and Cora was asked this today, it's an interesting distinction. If there are play-ins to get into the one-game playoff, Iglesias is eligible. So those are considered regular season games. You'd have to go to a 163, a 164, and then potentially qualify for the playoff game to get into the division series. So the playoff game is considered a postseason game. The play-in games to get into the playoffs are a regular season game. In any case, Jose Iglesias is staying at second base tonight. He's played the whole series. And this is something the Red Sox have to sort of balance, is that Iglesias has played so well they can't take him out. But Arroyo has to play, and he missed some time and with COVID and what have you, and they need to get him some reps. So, again, it's something that you got to watch here down the stretch. I'll give you another scenario, too, that's going to face the Red Sox in a minute, but a number of you are lined up. One of the people here wants to talk about something that I want to get to in the last segment, too, but let me bring him in now. John's in a car. John, go ahead.
Hey, Tony, how's it going?
Good.
You know, just before I get to him, I hope for once
they buck the trend of this silly sabermetrics and keep Iglesias and just someone that can make some plays out there on a regular basis. It just, it's fun to watch. And if just for that, I hope they do it. But, Tony, my question on Barnes is very simple. And, you know, since the Spider Tack, he was an all-star, right?
Yes.
Okay, so since the Spider Tack, has there been a pitcher in the league that has gone further south faster than Matt Barnes? I mean, forgive me for not knowing. You might know off the top of your head, but I can't think of one. And it's just, it's mind-boggling to me just how bad it's become for him.
Yeah, so, John, look, I think it's a factor. I think there's a lot of things that went on with Barnes. I think the Spider Tack thing is part of it. You know, to me, his slide started at that time, and then it got a lot worse. So Gerrit Cole had a really hard time at the beginning. You know, he straightened it out to some degree in that it had a hamstring thing on top of it. He didn't pitch great last night. I mean, I don't think Cole has been quite the same guy. But Barnes has, he's another one. Now, the good news is Barnes pitched last night late in the game. It was a 6-0 score, threw a lot of strikes. He actually had a lot of strikes in the prior outing. So I think the Red Sox are gearing him up for the weekend and for the play-in game if they need him. I think they're starting to inch toward getting Barnes back in the mix, and they need him. I mean, we've all seen what the end of that bullpen looks like. The guy who called last segment, who says that their bullpen is horrendous after the fifth inning, was not wrong. But this is one of the things that I think they're trying to fine-tune and you know, rapidly. It's like cramming for an exam at this stage. They're trying to get Barnes squared away so that they can use him in some capacity next week, whether it's Monday, Tuesday, whatever, however many games it takes to get into the division series. Kevin's in a car. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, guys. Just 2 points. One of them is the game's too long. It's too long a season. I think if you cut it in half, then you raise the interest of fans, but you also raise the interest of the fantasy community, fantasy baseball, because I think that's a pretty big community, and people don't play it because it's just too long and too hard to keep an eye on it. But the other point I wanted to bring up, Salvador Perez. I don't know if you guys have talked about him much, but, like, what an unbelievable season. Like, who saw that coming? I don't know. That was just a point.
Okay, so, Kevin, you must be a fantasy player. Honestly, with all due respect, I don't care about Salvador Perez.
48 home runs this year.
It's a nice story, but, again, I don't, you know, he's a catcher in Kansas City. Who gives a rat's ass? You know,
No, it's, yeah, I mean, outside of fantasy people. And
yeah, it's the baseball hour, not the hometown team.
I know. I'm not trying to be a dick about it, but really, is anybody in Boston talking about Salvador Perez? No, like, where the hell did that come from? But this is a perfect illustration of what I'm talking about. The Red Sox are fighting for a playoff spot, and somebody wants to talk about Salvador Perez.
He was on MLB Network today. That's probably why.
So, and look, from what I understand, Perez is a good enough guy. I've already spent too much time on him, though.
Best catcher in the game.
So, you know, the game is slow. Yes, the game needs massive reform. Massive. Huge overhaul. I just think baseball doesn't have the capacity to do it. They move too slow. You can't even get them to put in the pitch clock. By the way, if people haven't seen it, if you're interested in it, Baseball America recently put out a story that highlighted all the changes in the minor leagues and the impact they had on the change of the game. And the biggest one was a 15-second pitch clock. And that limited the number of pickoff throws you could make to first base. You put those two things together, and you know what happened? Time of game shot down by 21 minutes. 21 minutes in A-ball. Harry's in Woburn. Go ahead, Harry.
Hello?
Yes, Harry, go ahead.
Yes. Tony, I am a Red Sox fan since 1967. Always listened and followed every single game. Season ticket holder. They basically planned my whole summer life around the Red Sox. But I got to tell you, what Ken in the car said was absolutely correct. And I want you to listen to what I'm going to say.
Okay, just be quick.
The Red Sox have made it political. As a season ticket holder, I just dropped this year. All they're doing is constantly bombarding you with their social justice organization. This is what they are. Black Lives Matter. They supported getting rid of the exams at Boston Latin School.
Okay, so Harry, let me just stop you for a second. What percentage of the drop in TV ratings or in attendance do you think is attributable to that?
I think it's enough that...
Jed, give me a number. I need a number.
All I know, my friends are not going because of that. I know 8 or 9 people that are my close. None of them are going, and they're all 55 to 65. And we loved baseball.
I don't think that that's it. I can't believe people are digging in on this one. I don't think that that's it. And if it is for the older generation, it's not the reason for the younger generation. And frankly, they're more important than you are. So those are the people that won't watch the sport. It doesn't matter. You said you watched in 67, so you must be older than me, and I'm 53. But, you know, those are the people that are still watching. When we die off, there's nobody. And I said we die off. I'm including myself. Gannon's in Methuen. Go ahead, Gannon.
Yeah, I got you. Maz, I called last night, talked about going starter to starter to starter, because I think that's something that you have, that I think Cora's going to think of. But I have to say, Murray, I'm a fan. Felger, by default, I'm a fan too. But I want to talk about Schwarber. How do you use him if you're going to play him in the field and take his deficiencies in the field, but you get his at-bats, or are you going to wait till the seventh, eighth, ninth inning so he is some like a plug and play where in the end of the game where you can like, because he's obviously can hit, like we've seen it, he can hit. How do you go into the one game series? Like, do you start?
I got you. Yeah, again, no, I got you. It's a good question.
I think you have him at first and in the lineup to start, because that's what they're doing tonight, because they clearly, I think, have had enough with Bobby Dalbec because he's cooled off.
Attaboy, Murray, because this is exactly what I was just going to say. There's a lefty going for Baltimore tonight. Schwarber's at first. Dalbec's 1-for-15 with 9 strikeouts in his last 5 games, whatever it is, going back to the beginning of the Yankee series. I hate Schwarber at first base. I've said this a million times. I hate it. I think it's an accident waiting to happen. But this is also something that's going to rear its head over the weekend. And I haven't even looked at the Nationals pitching yet. But regardless, in the National League, no DH. Which means if you play your best defensive lineup, no J.D. Martinez and no Schwarber. Which I don't like. Here's what Cora said about the weekend.
Alex, how tricky will the weekend be without a DH and trying to use the different guys that you have?
We've been talking about it, and we'll see how we do it. You know, obviously, we got some good offensive players that can change games with one swing. And at the same time, we have to create the balance with the defense. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But there's a lefty tomorrow, right? A righty on Saturday. We don't know on Sunday. But, yeah, it's a tricky one. You know, it's not perfect. But we'll prepare. I think our roster, you know, as far as like who we have right now, you know, we can be quote unquote creative, right, in the early part of the game and then make adjustments throughout games. So we'll see how it plays out.
Okay, so again, lefty for the Nationals on Friday, right-hander on Saturday. Nobody listed yet for Sunday. But if you go with a traditional lineup, and my guess is that Schwarber's going to play first base on Saturday, which is probably why he's playing tonight, because they don't want him to have too many days off in between. My guess is J.D. Martinez will be in the outfield on Friday. But this is something to watch. The Red Sox are going to be weakened a little in those National League games. And that is a factor. As Cora has said, they are an offensive team. Greg is in New York. Greg, go ahead.
Hey, Tony, I wanted to know who you thought, if Alex Cora wasn't manager of the Red Sox, who would you like to see in that seat? And I'll hang up and listen.
So I'll tell you what, that's a great question. I haven't given it a ton of thought, but I would tell you this. Cora, to me, should be brought back. And Cora signed for 2 years anyway. It's this year and another year, and then there's a 2-year option. My understanding from the beginning was that they have to exercise that option after this season. After this season. So if they don't exercise it, Cora then effectively is a lame duck. And I think that that's a horrible way for the Red Sox to enter any season with the manager really on the hot seat. So I haven't given it a lot of thought, but I'll tell you what. It's something I'll consider for tomorrow. Murray, what do you got?
Well, yeah, so just this name popped in my head because I know you had a rapport with him when you were in there covering the team, and I think you've still talked to him. What about David Cone? Does he have any interest in managing?
So my guess is no. My guess is no. I like Cone a lot. I don't know if he really has an interest in it. There's historically, pitchers aren't great managers.
So, yeah, John Farrell.
So, I mean, I'd have to think it
out. That's world championship manager John Farrell.
Jimmy, you held a party for him at Kowloon when they fired him.
I know.
I'll tell you what, the guy I liked when before Cora sort of came back on the radar was Eduardo Perez, who does some stuff for ESPN.
Yeah.
To me, a guy like that would interest me. But I'll tell you what, I'll give it some thought and see if I can come up with a better name for you for tomorrow.
Fastballs, curveballs, and breaking balls. The Baseball Hour on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.